VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, a wave of ISIS terror has struck Israel. I mean, last night, Israel suffered its third major terror attack within some 8 days, leaving multiple people dead. This follows an attack that happened this past Sunday, and just days before that, an individual previously convicted for trying to join ISIS killed four in a stabbing spree. The attacks have left some 11 dead, said to be the biggest wave of terror to hit Israel in years. And while this is unfolding, we are approaching even closer to another Iran nuclear agreement deal. And so we're going to provide some analysis on these issues today. We welcome back to Crosstalk David Rubin. He is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He is the author of the book Confronting Radicals, What American Can Learn from Israel. He's a founder and president of Shiloh Israel Children's Fund that was established after he and his then 3-year-old son were wounded in a terror attack. His websites are davidrubinisrael.com and shilohisraelchildren.org. David, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Jim. Good to be with you again.
David, I understand that you're presently in the States from Israel, but we've got a whole lot to unpack today, much happening in Israel at this time. And I'd like to have you first address this ISIS terror attacks. Multiple attacks have been launched in Israeli cities. So what's going on?
Well, it's a clear outbreak, a clear upscale, uptick in the terrorism. We're talking about an Islamic terrorism that has not stopped even once. It did ease up to a certain slow periods where they turn off the faucets, but it has never stopped. It just doesn't make headlines in America. And when there's a war in the Ukraine, and the Russians invade Ukraine, so that kind of takes over, in terms of the news and attention. But there were three attacks in Israeli cities, carried out by Muslim radicals, including ISIS, and that all has happened in the past 10 days or so.
The Prime Minister Bennett gave comments saying, and I quote, "Israel is facing a deadly wave of Arab terrorism. Security forces are responding. We will fight terrorism with persistence, diligence, and an iron fist. They will not move us from here. We will win." David, do you agree that the Prime Minister is using an iron fist to fight this and taking appropriate action to dissuade any further such attack?
Unfortunately not. And, I have seen so many politicians come and go, and that includes American politicians, includes Israeli politicians. And more often than not, they talk a lot. They say what will not happen and what they will not do and what they will do. And, I like a politician that speaks softly or not at all. And carries a big stick.
Yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt type.
Mm-hmm.
Just take action. Don't talk about it. And the truth is, Donald Trump was kind of a paradox, because no one could say that he was quiet or that he spoke softly. But very often he would talk about things and the media would go crazy. And there were things that just didn't seem that important, and he'd be talking, and getting all this media attention and criticism, for that matter. But under the radar, he was doing big things that weren't getting the attention, and it was intentional, such as hurting the ISIS machine. ISIS was once the biggest and the most feared of the terrorist organizations. We can't say that's the case anymore. I mean, they've been rejuvenating, That's why we had one of those attacks in Israel carried out by an ISIS cell. But they are not what they once were. And the fact is that Trump, he'd like to say he wiped them out, but, he harmed them significantly. But he didn't talk about it when he was doing it. It wasn't until after.
You know, David, I saw a report from CBN News, and they reported that Hezbollah supporters in Lebanon were dancing in the streets, waving flags to celebrate these attacks in Israel. And I saw that and read the story, and I thought, boy, there is no shortage of enemies to Israel, is there?
Well, they're all aligned. You have to remember who is funding a lot of the terrorism. It's a country called Iran. It's an Islamic regime, a radical Islamic regime, and that is their goal is the destruction of Israel. That's their first goal. Their second goal is the destruction of the United States, but they realize that that's going to take a little bit of time for them. Israel, we're much closer. So that is their goal, to destroy us, to absolutely and utterly destroy us.
Yeah, so it's not only Hezbollah, as you say, funding from Iran, but Iran has been no friend of Israel. They want to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth. And with this terror that's been going on, it's hard to believe this, but there's been aggressive steps being taken by the United States and other nations to revitalize this Iran nuclear deal. And I'd like you to give us your perspective on what you see taking place with this deal, the negotiations that are moving forward.
Well, the deal is very destructive. It's heading towards that destruction. It's aiding that destruction that I was just speaking about. Their goal is to destroy Israel. Their goal is to dominate the Middle East. Their goal is to eventually wipe out the United States, hit at the United States and Europe, and turn the world into an Islamic, total Islamic civilization. They don't just say it quietly, by the way. They say it publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've seen that. We've seen the pattern from the first leader, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, and we see it with the present Ayatollah and his followers. They are Islamic radicals who are looking to dominate. So making a deal with them is insane. It's insane. And in fact, when they're making a deal, and the State Department has said that they could have an agreement within days, but the fact is that a big part of the deal is Russia.
Well, yeah, and we're going to comment on this because, I mean, the media is keeping our eyes on Russia, Ukraine, and so forth. And I see President Biden, just talking out of both sides of his mouth. I mean, the other day, out of one side of his mouth, indicating that Putin needs to be removed from power. And on the other side of his mouth, and perhaps behind the curtain, participating with Russia to bring about this Iran nuclear deal. I mean, it's just not making sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense for people who think sensibly. The deal should be subtitled Dirty Dealings with Shady Partners. Because, yes, on one hand, Biden wants Putin, and, he slipped and said that he wants Putin, who is busy bombing Ukrainian cities, removed from power, right? On the other hand, he's trusting that very same Putin to ensure that a new peaceful regime will emerge in Iran. Which, given the history of the radical regime itself, makes no sense at all.
And it appears that Iran has been calling the shots. I mean, they've been in the driver's seat with the negotiations. We're not going to come to the table unless you do this for us, unless you remove these sanctions, unless you do this. I mean, is it really Iran that is propelling these discussions?
Well, Russia and China are playing a role behind the scenes in encouraging Iran make those demands. That much is very clear. But look, when you know, think of any negotiation, when you know that your negotiating partner, so to speak, the person opposite you, is desperate for a deal, then you don't have to offer too much. You just accept his deal and throw him a bone. And and you will have a deal. Well, that's what we see happen. It's what we saw the first time. And this time, of course, it's much more dangerous because they are much closer to nuclear breakout capacity. But the deal is going forward nonetheless, and basically we are asking for trouble.
David Rubin is with us today, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and author of the book Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. And Confronting Radicals, what's going on right now. David, any thoughts that you might have as to what is propelling President Biden to be so determined to negotiate with this terrorist nation, to negotiate with Iran, to cozy up with Russia, to hasten the nuclear capability of Iran? Any idea what's propelling him to do this?
Well, look, he's surrounded by advisors who are further to the left than he is. They have this belief that I think they still have Vietnam War syndrome, that they believe that the only deal that's acceptable is a deal based on diplomacy, that there is no military solution to anything, and that you have to just roll over and play dead. And I think that's what's happening here. His advisors believe that you have to have a deal, even if it's a bad deal.
Do you believe we're at past the point of diplomacy here?
Oh, I think it couldn't be clearer. And it's unfortunate that the Biden administration is pulling the Americans out of the equation here by caving in, which basically means once you cave in, once you sign a deal, so that's it. You can't have any sort of military action. Israel, on the other hand, is not a party to the deal.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I'd like to refer to a story I saw on Breitbart earlier this month. They ran a story that indicated that President Biden will force Israel to launch a preemptive strike against Iran by offering this a new nuclear deal that guarantees it's going to develop nuclear weapons, something that Israel just simply cannot allow. Do you see President Biden putting this pressure on Israel to strike, that he, in essence, is undermining Israel?
Well, he's clearly undermining Israel. He's certainly not saying it. But, you're putting me in a position where I have to reveal what I think Israel is going to do. So, but I'm happy to play along with that game. That's what I do. And I will tell you that Israelis, Israel's government, all across the political spectrum, with the exception of the very far left, has made it very clear that we are not going to be bound in any way, shape, and form by this nuclear deal, and that we will do what we need to do in order to ensure our survival. And I'll make it clear that this is an existential threat to Israel.
We're going to take a quick break here, ladies and gentlemen. David Rubin with us here today. Again, his websites are davidrubinisrael.com and shilohisraelchildren.org. We're talking about ISIS terror. We're talking about the Iran nuclear agreement and getting the analysis here from David Rubin, who has lived this every day. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, were the Aborigines that were found in Australia a primitive culture?
No, they weren't, Chris. When the British got there, these people had a very intricate culture and language and art, and even their own brand of technology. For instance, Aboriginal stone knives dating from centuries ago had serrated cutting edges. These were only invented in Western culture after the Second World War. There was nothing at all primitive about these early cultures. All people descended from Noah and his family, and they were technical enough to build a huge ship. Cultures do degenerate when they adopt pagan thought, but are not primitive in any evolutionary sense, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And folks, as we've mentioned, Israel is really in the crosshairs of nations like Iran, Islamic Iran. They want to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth and negotiating a deal that is supposedly going to give them the authority and the power to do just that, with United States pushing this, Russia pushing this as well. David Rubin is with us here today. Again, he is author of a book entitled Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. David, this is really the heart and soul of this book, is it not? I mean, this is what Israel is doing, has been having to confront radicals, and America better wise up to what's taking place.
Yes, I think so. One of the first lessons that you learn from Israel about confronting radicals is to understand their tactics, but more importantly, understand their overall strategy and understand that you cannot defeat them through appeasement.
Mm-hmm. Again, the book is available. I believe that's davidrubinisrael.com. It's available.
That's true.
Okay.
It's available at davidrubinisrael.com, or if those who want to just buy Confronting Radicals directly, can go to Amazon and just type in the words Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. But I think davidrubinisrael.com makes the most sense, because there you could get information about my other books as well.
Great. Well, David, you mentioned this whole Iran nuclear agreement that is under negotiation right now could be better named Dirty Deals with Shady Partners. What are some of the dirty deals that you are seeing come forth from this Iran agreement?
Well, look, there are, when you have negotiations between two trustworthy people or nations who, you know, just looking out for their own interests without one looking to destroy the other. So it's possible to have concessions, possible to have give and take. But here, when you're talking about this regime in Iran that is they're a bunch of Islamic fanatics who only want to destroy Judeo-Christian civilization. So you're not talking about reasonable people here. And so there are elements, there are concessions in this impending deal that are right on the edge of insanity. For example, according to the deal that's in the works, the Iran Revolutionary Guards, who are supporting terrorism around the world, have been supporting terrorism around the world. They are the vehicle for most of the terror attacks in the world today, that the Iran Revolutionary Guards will be removed from the terror list.
Oh my.
The United States and the European countries, and they, which means that all sanctions on them will be removed. That's number one. Number two, according to this impending agreement, only some of Iran's nuclear bomb research facilities will be covered, will be supervised. Several of those research facilities will not be supervised in any way. And number three, the enriched uranium that Iran would have in excess, and by the way, enriched uranium is it's the element that's used to create a nuclear bomb. So the enriched uranium that they have at this time, as we speak, that goes beyond the amount of enriched uranium that they're allowed to have, meaning, according to the deal, they will still be allowed to keep enriched uranium with which to make nuclear bombs. But only some of them they would not allow to have, and they would hand it over to the Russians.
Hmm.
And we know how trustworthy Putin is.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of very dangerous elements in this deal that they are coming very close to signing.
How close?
Oh, they're extremely close. They just haven't closed things because the Ukraine is still being invaded by Russia, and all the Biden administration's attention is focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Europeans are focused on that. So they never got to put in the fine writing in this deal. And I imagine it's going to happen pretty soon because Biden is desperate for a foreign policy victory, or something that might appear to be a victory.
Well, yeah, and appear to be a victory, and such that I believe that there is no intention to take this before the United States Senate that is supposed to ratify treaties with a two-thirds vote. I mean, we saw former President Obama that totally did away with that constitutional principle in that regard. If we call it a deal and not a treaty, then we don't have to take it before the Senate, but it has every aspect of being a treaty, and it looks like Biden is falling right in his footsteps here.
Well, he is. He is, clearly. Mm. Biden is a weak president. I'm sure that your listeners have heard that before, but I'm telling you from an Israeli perspective, because in Israel, we know what weakness is. We know what strength is. And in the Middle East, they know what weakness is and what strength is. And Biden is weak, and everyone knows it. And it was truly embarrassing to watch him in Europe, mm-hmm. and to hear the misstatements, and then to see him corrected immediately by the White House press spokesman, or other individuals who went unnamed within the administration. It's very, very concerning.
Iran has claimed to have developed this new missile that can hit Israel as well as U.S. bases. Any truth of that, David?
Well, I know they've been working at it. There is no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are exactly in development, I'm not sure. But look, Iran has been developing intercontinental long-range missiles. What does intercontinental mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means from one continent to another.
Yeah.
Okay, we live on, the Israelis, we're on the same continent as Iran. We're really very close geographically. You guys are on another continent, by the way.
Yep. Yeah, interesting thought there, because they've talked about reaching the U.S. as well. We also have the former Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, has been speaking out against this new Iran agreement. He's called it absurd. He's called it dangerous. What impact, if any, does a former Prime Minister have on Israel at this time? Are people listening to him? Is he still a force in Israel?
Well, he's certainly trying to be a force. And look, if elections were held today, according to the latest polls, his party, the Likud, would still be the biggest party in Israel easily, and he would be the prime minister. So obviously what he has to say is important to listen to, whether you agree or not. But the fact is that what he said about Iran, everyone agrees with that. There's, other than the most anti-Israel Islamic radical party in the Knesset, and there is such a thing, yes, and in the coalition government, there is such a thing, yes. But when you put them to the side, then you would say that every single Israeli party is against this Iran deal and believes that the Iranian nuclear program is a mortal danger to Israel.
David Rubin is with us today, ladies and gentlemen. Again, he's the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, in the States right now, is speaking in various states, but author of the book Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel, that he has available through davidrubinisrael.com. Let's talk about natural gas for a bit, because I see President Biden, too, has been talking about selling natural gas to Europe, make them less dependent on Russian oil. Does the United States really have this extra supply? And I thought Israel was already making natural gas available to some of the European nations.
Well, first of all, let me say this. Israel signed an agreement a few years ago to two or three years ago with Cyprus and with Greece to ship natural gas through an underground pipeline to ship natural gas to Greece and Cyprus and eventually to other European countries. Okay, this was a groundbreaking deal. Israel suddenly, with the great discovery of natural gas along the Mediterranean coast, we have been able to suddenly turn into an energy exporting nation. So this deal was signed. Biden, when he came into power, he rejected that deal. He said it's not a good deal. Israel should halt any sort of progress towards that deal. And he's been applying heavy pressure in that direction. What is ostensibly his reason for it? That it's not a green deal. That any deals that are signed should be green. That we don't want to increase the production and the shipment of any kind of fossil fuels, oil, any kind of natural gas, that everything has to be green. You know, I mean, we're not going to be shipping too many windmills, but you know, this is Biden. Biden is you know, he's basically a tool of the far left.
Yeah. Just focusing on Russia and Ukraine for a bit and the war that's going on, we know your Prime Minister of Israel has been involved in what's called shuttle diplomacy, trying to bring the sides together and end the attacks that are going on. Give us your analysis, David, of what we've seen take place and Israel's role in that regard.
Well, look, Israel is in a unique position because whether we like it or not, Russia is in control in Syria. Okay, the ruler of Syria, Bashar Assad, he's there physically, but he's really not in charge. The Russians are in charge, and they're supporting him. They're working with him. And Iran, because Iran is so friendly with Assad, so Iran has been given free entry into Syria, and they've been setting up military bases for the past 6 or 7 years now. And Israel, for the past 3 years, has been hitting those military bases and hitting them hard. Russia is aware of it, but they've been looking the other way. And there have been some discussions between Putin and Israel's prime minister in order to make sure that Israel and Russia do not come into direct conflict, but that Israel does what it needs to do. So that's been going on. And because of that, Israel's prime minister has been able to negotiate with Zelensky and to conduct negotiations with Zelensky and Putin.
We'll be back in just a minute, folks, here on Crosstalk. David Rubin is with us today from Israel in the States right now, author of the book Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. We'll be back in 1 minute.
VCY America is making available Ray Comfort's DVD that is causing evolutionists and atheists around the world to become unglued. Evolution versus God is a fast-moving 35-minute DVD in which Ray Comfort confronts evolutionists with a series of questions that leave them stumped and speechless about a belief system that lacks credible answers to the origins of the earth and mankind. You can obtain one DVD of Evolution versus God for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Evolution versus God is shaking the foundation of evolutionary faith. That's one copy for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829 or on the web at vcyamerica.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're speaking today with David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. We're talking about the terrorism, the ISIS terror. We're talking about these horrendous Iran nuclear agreement discussions that have been going on, that Israel has been warning against these, and something that the U.S. has been very engaged in promoting along with Russia and really capitulating to Iran in issue after issue after issue. By the way, folks, if you'd like to, if you've got a question for David Rubin today, our phone number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Focusing on Israel, the Iran nuclear agreement, the ISIS terror. And let me just say this, folks, your congressman, particularly your senators, need to hear from you in regard to this Iran deal that's being pushed by the Biden administration. You can reach out to your senators at 202-224-3121. There are some who are saying, demanding that this go before the U.S. Senate before anything would be ratified. That's 202-224-3121. That's the Senate switchboard. You can also find direct numbers to your senators at senate.gov. David, as we're talking about the Russia-Ukraine war that's going on right now and the incursion that's taken place there, we know that there have been numerous, much devastation. We have seen the attack, the killing of many bystanders, civilians, and so forth. We know many have been fleeing to Poland, but all of this is just providing untold numbers of refugees at this point. That's having quite an impact on neighboring nations, not only what we see in Poland, but other nations as well.
Yes. Well, Jim, I know, unfortunately, we Israelis know too well, far too well, about the trauma of war and the trauma of being refugees. And the fact is, yes, we adults suffer from trauma from wars and from being refugees. And certainly in Israel, we have the additional trauma of terrorism, which makes everything far worse. But when you're dealing with trauma, you have to understand that a lot of the symptoms of trauma and a lot of the ways to treat the trauma are very similar. So, you know, it breaks my heart to see thousands of children who have been traumatized, deeply traumatized by this war and by what's been done to them.
I mean, you live this, David, you, your son, your family, you know what that's like firsthand, not just observing what's happening in Israel. You experienced it personally, and matter of fact, you've done something about it there in Israel as well.
That's right. I certainly did. And my son was wounded. I was wounded in a terror shooting attack as we were driving home from Jerusalem. The terrorists ambushed us with AK-47 assault rifles on a dark country road, and the car went completely dead when the bullets hit. And my leg was bleeding profusely. My son had been shot in the head with a skull meets with a neck, causing a skull fracture and internal bleeding in the cerebellum. Thank God the bullet that went into his head and through his neck missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter. Mm. And he survived. And as you can see, I survived as well. We eventually got away from the terrorists and got to safety. But one thing that I learned from those years is that, when I say those years, I'm talking about the operations and the recoveries, and it was a long, long process. But the trauma that is the worst trauma is the psychological, emotional trauma that never seems to go away unless it's treated in the right way. And at that time, we didn't have any facilities or anything to treat the trauma in the proper way. And my wife and I really had no idea how to go about it with a 3-year-old child. Well, that all led to a decision that I made. I had this vision of a therapeutic educational complex, a campus, in fact, where we could integrate therapy and education to heal the trauma of terror victim children and to restore the lost innocence to their lives in the biblical heartland of Israel. And that's what that we've managed to do with the help of people around the world. We established the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund. And you can find out more about the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund and its therapeutic and educational work for the children, for the terror victim children and their families, and anyone who knows a terror victim in Israel, which is just about everybody. And we do great work. We have over 2,000 children on our main campus at any given time who are healing from the trauma through our programs using music, art, animal therapy, and many other forms of innovative therapies for children.
Well, friends, to get more information on this, you can go to ShilohIsraelChildren.org. That's ShilohIsraelChildren.org. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Jim in New York, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Just like to comment and get your response. Nothing happens in the world without the okay of the central banks. They control the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations controls Biden. All this is part of the global reset. There'll be no sovereign nation, and that's the way it's set up.
Okay.
Your comment.
Thank you for that. David, do you see a connection there?
Well, I see a connection between the Biden administration, certainly, and the left. Look, the left wing in America and around the world, they've always been globalists. They're always looking to create their new global order, the new world order, and it's not something that that is just happenstance. It's obviously there are those that don't believe in countries, you know, that believe that that the United States and the values that it was built on and that it still should stand for are not relevant anymore. I don't believe that's the case. I think that the United States is a great country built on magnificent Judeo-Christian values. And I think that we all need to stand with those values today. And we who are in Israel and who believe in the Jewish values, the eternal values of Israel, we're certainly on board with that as well.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Fred is our next caller. Hi, Fred, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to mention that the whole free world, including Israel, should get the works of Dr. J. Smith, J-A-Y-S-M-I-T-H, Islam. He has it all there, the false history of Islam. But according to what they found, that the Quran and information wasn't sent down from heaven by Allah, because there is no Allah, and it's not eternal, and it isn't in perfect Arabic, and it has no crossovers and write-overs. It's full of them, and he proves it and shows it from all the Islamic information history. It was done by the three or four caliphs after Muhammad, and the whole world needs to know it, but the free world first, so they can share it with the Islamic world, that they're believing a lie, which ends up being Babylon going back to Satan in the Garden of Eden.
Thank you, Fred.
Okay. Well, I see that Fred doesn't have a question, but... But I will say that that I already wrote about this years ago in my book, The Islamic Tsunami, Israel and America in the Age of Obama, and it's not a mystery. It's not a mystery that there is nothing divine, nothing eternal in Islam. It was basically a rejection. It was a response of the rejection of the Jews and the Christians who lived on the Arabian Peninsula about 1,300 years ago, a rejection of Muhammad's claims to be a prophet. And, you know, Muhammad was basically just a deranged individual. And so yes, of course, there is nothing divine, nothing eternal in Islam, and there is a lot that is very, very destructive.
Thank you, Fred, for the call. Our number 800-733-9829. Friends, if you have questions today as it pertains to the terror events that have been taking place regularly here in Israel, if you have questions pertaining to this Iran nuclear agreement that the U.S. is pushing at this time, 800-733-9829. Kevin is next. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Say, my question's for Dave. Personally or publicly, how do you think the world's population should be viewing Vladimir Putin's offensive right now totally? I mean, from what the Jewish nation has seen in 100 years, where do you think people should be looking as far as his connection to Vladimir Lenin, to Vladimir Putin? Where do you think we should be viewing this person?
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, well, it's a good question. Actually, my name is David Rubin, by the way. Look, the Putin that we're seeing today invading the Ukraine for really no sensible reason. I mean, he wasn't attacked. Ukraine did not attack Russia. Ukraine did not even threaten Russia. What he did was he's continuing to try to rebuild either the former Soviet Union or the Russian Empire that once existed. There is definitely a continuation there. There is definitely the dictator in Putin, maybe not officially, but certainly it's there, and the tendencies are there, and he's looking to make a greater Russia with really no justification. There's no historical justification for him to take over a sovereign nation at this time, or at any time for that matter.
Mm-hmm. David, as you are well aware, we are soon going to see celebrations of Ramadan taking place with those who are followers of Islam. And we know, based upon the track record, those who follow in particular, that terrorism escalates during Ramadan. And yet we have seen these outbreaks in Israel, these terror attacks that have taken place. Are you concerned that this Ramadan coming, we're going to see just what we've seen in past Ramadans? There's going to be even greater attempts for this Islamic killing in places like Israel and around the world?
Well, it's very possible. But let me just say this. The very fact that you stated and so many others have stated that we have to be concerned about the increase in violence during the month of Ramadan. What does that tell you about Islam? What does it tell you about? And I'm not going to be one of these guys, you know, they have these so-called experts on Islam who come on the air and they say that they're not against Islam, they're against Islamism. Hmm. There is no such thing as Islamism.
Mm-hmm.
They're just saying that because they're afraid to say that Islam at the core is rotten. So the fact is that yes, there are some more peaceful streams in Islam, but that the core of Islam is violent, is excessively violent, and we need to be very cautious about it.
Yeah, indeed. Strike the necks of the infidels. That is those who are not followers of Islam. Friends, we'll be back in 1 minute. Our number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. How did we get where we are today in America, where we have such lawlessness? My friend, former Assistant Deputy Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI, Terry Turchi, declared in a television special that I hosted in November of 2021 that America is no longer under the rule of law. How did this happen? Well, one way is we rejected the belief in absolute truth in a fixed constitution based on the constitutional republic belief of the laws of nature and nature's God. Justice Holm of the U.S. Supreme Court declared, quote, "The felt necessities of the time, the prevalent moral and political theories, have a good deal more to do than the legal reasoning process in determining the rules by which men should be governed," end quote. Many of these individuals sitting at the highest levels of the court have proclaimed
that society evolves, morals evolve, the law evolves. That's how we've reached the point we are today.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're discussing today the terrorism that has struck Israel again, more intensified over the last several days. Our guests saying, hey, it's been a way of life in Israel, though. But we see these waves taking place, as well as the threat of the Iran nuclear agreement. That is also part of our discussion here today. David Rubin is with us from Israel here presently in the States and doing lots of speaking right now for a brief period of time before he heads back. But privileged to have him with us here today by way of phone and taking your calls at 800-733-9829. Spencer, Tennessee, we have Ed calling in. Hi, Ed, you're on the air.
Hello there. I'm curious to know, what is the condition of Damascus? That is they're supposed to be destroyed sometime. Of course, you know, that's in the Bible. Is that eminent, you think, there, Mr. Rubin?
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ed, just your question was about Damascus in particular. Is it what?
Is it about to be destroyed as it's supposed to be?
Okay,
so obviously Ed is referring to a prophecy which speaks of the destruction of Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, I believe in prophecy as well. I don't believe that we should take action just directly in order to literally fulfill prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe we should attack a city in order to fulfill prophecy. Although, you know, the Almighty creates situations, and very often we have to step in and take action.
David, what are you seeing from Syria at this time? Is there a lull in their opposition against Israel? What's happening with Syria?
Well, as I alluded to earlier, there is this issue of Russia being ensconced in Syria, in control. They're basically the ruling superpower in Syria, if we could still call them a superpower, and so they're in support of Assad in Syria, and Iran is also in Syria to a smaller extent, operating sometimes through Hezbollah, sometimes through the Syrians, and Iran has been trying to set up military bases in Syria from which they can attack Israel, and Israel has been attacking Syria. Has been attacking those military bases, and Putin is well aware of it. He's not getting involved. He's trying to avoid any sort of conflict with Israel, as we are trying to avoid direct conflict with him. But we're doing what we have to do in Syria. Whether it will turn into a full-blown war at some point, it's very possible. We have to watch the Iran issue, the Iran nuclear issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could be that if it ends up being a war with Iran, then it may end up being a multi-front war, and in that case, Syria may be involved. But we'll see how everything plays out. Unfortunately, the Iran nuclear deal that Biden is desperately trying to negotiate and reach an agreement on is not going to help the cause of peace in the Middle East, and certainly not between us and Iran.
Ed, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
We've got Mason next. Go ahead, Mason. You're on the air.
My question is about the United States. You read articles, you read the internet, you read or listen to podcasts, Facebook, that the country is so divided that there's talk about a civil war in America. Is that possible? And if it did happen, what would the military do?
We haven't been so focused on the United States as such, but David, you've seen these play out in nations around the world. I mean, the clash of moral values, we see a political opposition and clashing it's been heightening here across this nation as well. You've seen that take place in Israel. I know you observe what's going on in the United States. Do you see that happening here in our nation?
Well, look, Jim, my book that you mentioned earlier Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel, directly addresses that. The polarization in the United States, the attempts of the far left to change America at its fundamentals, to change it from a Judeo-Christian country into a country with predominantly secular values. And as that push is being made by the far left, you also have the attempt to undo the social structure in the United States to create this gender confusion, to create this semantic confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes, there is a very dangerous situation being created by the far left in America. How is that going to be undone? Look, I certainly don't think that any sort of military or violent conflict is the solution in America. I think that the solution is for the conservative people in America to get involved and get very involved at the grassroots level, get involved on the school boards, go to the school board meetings, get involved in the media, and create your own media if you can. And if you can't, get involved, and do whatever you can at the grassroots level in the area of education and media, because those are the areas that are going to change the political situation and move it to the way that it's supposed to be.
Thank you, Mason, for the call. We're going to try and squeeze in Jason out of North Carolina. Jason, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, David, hope you're both doing well this evening. Your last caller touched a little bit on it as far as being over here in the States. What you're seeing over in Israel with some of the escalations in the attacks, and obviously we need to all be vigilant looking out here, what would you recommend for Americans here to do in preparation for Ramadan coming up and to be vigilant?
Thank you, Jason. We've got 30 seconds, David.
Well, I see it in a much more long-term scale. As I said a moment ago, I think that people have to get involved at the grassroots level and be active. And one way to be active is to be active in standing with Israel. And I always mention the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, because if you want to stand with Israel, stand with the children. And those who bless Israel, as it says in the book of Genesis, will be blessed.
Jason, thank you for the call. We are out of time. David Rubin, our guest today. And friends, again, the website, ShilohIsraelChildren.org, DavidRubinIsrael.com. David, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
And friends, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.